Hello, everybody. It's good to be back on the air. I haven't been on the air in 2 months, and I'm not going to lie. If I didn't say, I missed the hell out of y'all. I enjoy doing this, and it's fun. And you know what? I'm sorry. I was in the weeds. Any young parent or chef will understand. But I'm back. I'm straightened up, flying right. We're back on a regular routine. Today, we have Deborah McDowell stopping by the studio. She's the co-founder and owner of Club Helsinki in Hudson, New York. And also Paul Perillo, the executive chef of Crossroads Brewing Company in Athens, New York. He's going to stop by and introduce himself to the community, and we're going to have some fun. June. What a great month. Asparagus, rhubarb, spinach, fresh lettuces. You know what that is? That's a sign, man. We're right around the corner from fresh, organic, local food. Eat Food or Die, Episode 5. You guys might have forgot about them. I sure in hell didn't. Nirvana. Welcome back to Eat Food or Die. I'm with Paul Perillo, the executive chef of Crossroads Brewery in Athens, New York. What's up, baby?
Hey, man. How you doing?
Chilling, man. Chilling. Thank you for coming in and talking to me.
Sure, man. Thanks for having me.
Hey, so this is exciting because I think it's going to be really cool that a brewery has a chef. You know, usually you would, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, you would assume that it'd be like a grill guy, you know, just flipping burgers, but you know food.
Right.
And this is going to be great, man, because you can go in and get a craft beer and a great meal.
Yeah, man, that's definitely, I guess, like you said, it's really unique to the area. And they've already, established like an amazing reputation for their beers, and they have a guy on board in Hutch. He's a brewmaster over there that just makes incredible beer, and like I said, people have gotten used to that, and now you know, we're gonna have some great food lined up, and really excited about it.
Right on, Paul. And tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you? Where are you from? Where were you last cooking? The whole nine yards.
Yeah, I'm originally an upstate kid. I grew up in Amsterdam, New York, which is in the Albany, Schenectady area. And I went down to New York City, moved there right after college. I was involved in the music business for about 4 or 5 years. But, you know, I grew up working in kitchens. My family owns a couple of restaurants in Amsterdam, so it's always been in my blood to cook, and I've always just loved it. So after like 5 years of the corporate world in New York, I'm like, screw this. Going to culinary school. I went to ICE in Manhattan and started working at Tribeca Grill after that. I spent some time there and then at Corporate Chef Catering, which was a catering company in Midtown Manhattan. So I was there for a while, and then my wife and I got married. She's originally from Copaic, New York. So we decided to move back up here a few months ago. And that's when I got introduced to the Crossroads folks.
Good. Well, congratulations on the gig, number one, because that's a great gig, man.
Yeah, I'm really excited. It's like being a home brewer myself and like, you know, a huge beer guy. This is like a dream come true, you know?
Yeah, a chef being a beer guy. Yeah, that ain't, that's a little weird, isn't it?
Can you imagine that?
So let's give us a sneak peek of the menu. Just a couple things you plan on doing.
Sure. First and foremost, it's really important to myself as well as Ken and Janine, the owners at Crossroads, that we keep everything as local as possible. So that's going to be like a really big focusing point for us, source everything as locally as we can. So we have a really killer grass-fed beef burger that'll hopefully be kind of like our flagship dish. You know, there's nothing that goes really much better with a beer than a nice big burger. So we'll have a burger on the menu for sure, a mac and cheese. What else we got? We have a chicken pot pie. A lot of old, like, you know, kind of classic American comfort foods.
But done right.
Exactly.
You know, if it's done right, can be better than any foie gras torchon in the world, you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Put that up, you know, part or pound for pound, I'm going with the chicken pot pie, yeah. Dude.
I hear you. You know, it's like one of those things, like when you sit down and you have a really good craft beer at a brewery, sometimes you don't need like, you know, crazy fancy food. You just want something really simple that's going to go right with that burger. And as long as, like you said, it's done the right way.
And I think that's where cuisine's going anyway. I think it's going home, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know the more and more I cook, the more and more I do my grandmother's Sunday night food. You
right,
know,
right.
It's like it's. I think people are saying, "All right, look, we're not France, we're not Italy. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's just be serious here and let's eat American food."
Yeah.
You know, and I think people are really, really going back to the home kitchen.
I agree with you, man. You know, and it's like people are starting to appreciate more and more the meat that's produced here, the vegetables that are grown right here in the Hudson Valley. You know, we're really lucky to have an amazing array of food and purveyors and farmers right here in the Hudson Valley. And, you know, why not feature them? Why not make them the star of the show and, you know, just cook their food right? And, you know, it's all about, like, the whole community thing, I guess.
That's what I'm talking about, man. You see, you get it. Thank God. Some people don't, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, you can't live here, get all your produce from the city. You know?
Right.
I mean, that doesn't make any damn sense.
I agree. Yeah.
And I'm happy to hear that you want to use local farms, because that's really what this show's about, is introducing the community to people that, you know, work in the food industry in the Hudson Valley.
Right.
Like yourself, like me, like farmers and everything. I mean, and, you know, we scratch each other's back. That's what makes it work around here.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it fun and cool.
Yeah. I have to say, it's like, I've only been in the area for a few months, and I'm already, like, super encouraged. You know, you were one of the first chefs I met here in the area, and, you know, immediately kind of we struck up a good relationship, and I definitely got that feel that you're, like, you know, looking to help out your fellow chefs. And, you know, I think it's cool, like, this thing that we got going here in the Hudson Valley. It's like, I don't know, almost like familial, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, right. Cool. So, listen, we were talking earlier, and you're doing some interesting things. You know, one of them, I believe you met our buddies that was on the show, the Amazing Real Life Food Company.
Right.
And you're going to be doing beer flights with their cheese.
Yeah.
pairing beer with cheese.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Amazing Real Live Food is one of the cheesemakers that we've brought in, and we've been doing taste tests, which is, let me tell you, that's been just terrible over the past couple of weeks, having to taste all this local cheese.
Sit around and taste nug cheese.
Yeah. So, but they were one of the people we brought in. They're amazing people, Sarah and Rory, really cool, and they make amazing cheese. And so we sat down with them and kind of BS'd for a little while and tried some of their cheese. And Hutch, the head brewer over there, and myself are like, man, we need to start pairing our beers with these cheeses. There's so many different elements that we can kind of pair up, match, contrast, whatever. Currently we serve a flight. You get to taste 6 of our beers. We serve it on like a nice little paddle presentation. And once the kitchen's open for full service, we'll have a cheese board and we'll be pairing a cheese with each one of the beers. So
that's really, I'll be over there for that one, trust me. And when is the projected opening date?
Right now we're shooting for the first week in July. You know, they still have a bit of work to do in the kitchen before it's ready for full service. But, we're aiming for the first week of July.
Well, that's a good time to open because that's when it really does start to get gangster around here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's busy, boy, in July. So good timing with that one. But as of right now, you're doing a buffet dinner Friday and Saturday night.
That's right, yeah. Until the kitchen is open for full service, we've been just kind of giving people a taste, different elements off the menu, things to come, so to say. So on Friday and Saturday nights, starting at 5 o'clock, we'll be featuring some of the menu. This past week, we did smoked pork shoulder. We had a pork shoulder from Northwind Farms in Tivoli. Smoked that for 12 hours, served it with some sweet apple slaw. What else did we do? Mac and cheese and our brew house salad. And then the following night, again, we were featuring meat from Northwind Farms. We did bratwurst and kielbasa with some roasted potatoes and sauerkraut. So
that's what I'm talking about, dude. You know my phone works, right, bro? You can text me next time that's going down.
All right, man, we'll do.
All right. Another really cool thing about Crossroads Brewery and Hudson is the water taxi.
Yeah, that's something that's, I think really going to be great for everybody is starting, I believe it was a couple weeks ago on weekends, there's now a water taxi that can pick you up right here in Hudson, 5-minute trip across the river and drop you off 2 blocks from the brewery in Athens. And it's only like $10 round trip and it goes till 10 o'clock at night. So every weekend throughout the summer, from Hudson to Athens won't be the pain in the butt that it used to be to get out there.
Well, that's cool. You don't have to drive. Number one, you can have an extra pint.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's, I don't know. Maybe I'm just geeking out. I kind of have fun on, taking like ferries and stuff.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's nice, man.
Totally, man. When the weather is good, it doesn't get much better.
Yeah. Hey, Paul, thank you so much for coming by and talking to us. And I can't wait to go and try your food and hang out with you, man. And you're here for the right reasons, and we're totally supporting you here, buddy. And thanks again for coming to the show.
Thanks so much, Hugh. I really appreciate it, man.
You got it, Paul. And we're gonna play a little bit. Well, I'm he is my favorite musician of all time. His name is Willie Nelson, and I don't think it gets better than him playing reggae. So we're gonna play a little Willie Nelson with a reggae. He's got a cool middle name too.
Yeah,
it's Hugh.
Nice.
I go to draw my pay. Close the door on me today. Told me just to stay away and don't come back again.
I told my mama, baby, don't you cry. I'll get a job before the day go by. I don't know where, and that is why I'm a worried man.
And that Papa is a worried man.
Papa is a worried man.
Hey, Willie.
family.
Yes, sir.
I don't own a money tree. I don't own no land.
Now listen. I've got muscle and I've got brain. I don't mind the sun and the rain. I gotta make a little change. As I'm a worried, worried, worried man.
Ooh. Worried man, a worried man. I'm a very worried man. Hungry babies don't understand.
Their papa is a worried man. Their papa is the worried.
Hey, you know what? I'm having a good time spinning music. Let's do another track. This is Chuck Prophet. I happen to be a huge fan. This song is called The Left Hand. Let's do it.
Hey. The left hand and the right hand shared a cigarette. They were seen together everywhere, everywhere they went. And when you pass them on the street, they always took the time to wave hello. They stood up for each other the way true brothers do. And when the left hand lost the thumb, the right cut his off too. Oh, but no one could harmonize the way those brothers did. Don't tell me you don't want my love. Don't tell me you don't need my love. Don't tell me you don't want my love. Don't tell me you don't need my love. Well, the left hand and the right hand, they grew apart. One day it was separate checks, the next day bodyguards. And the years flew by like birds of prey, not a single word between those two. Don't tell me you don't want my love. Don't tell me you don't need my love. Don't tell me you don't want my love. Don't tell me you don't need my love. Don't tell me you don't want my love.
Welcome back, everybody, to Eat Food or Die. In the studio, I have with me Mrs. Deborah McDowell.
Hi, Chef.
How are you?
I'm good. Long night last night in the club business, you know.
Yeah, it seems to be the nature of the beast, like you said. Hey, listen, I wanted you to be on the show. We've been working together 2 years. By the way, Columbia County, Greene County, the podcast. Deborah is the original founder and creator of Club Helsinki. So I just wanted you to kind of go in depth the history of Helsinki.
Wow, it's so long ago. Let's see. We started out in Great Barrington in 1995. That was a long time ago, it seems now. Mark and I, you know, I had been doing all sorts of other things, and it seemed the appropriate time to start something in Barrington that was kind of for the people. I was missing something that wasn't a nice restaurant, a nice place to hang out, good music, no television. And I was a big tea drinker, and I knew there were coffee shops there, so we started a little tea shop in Barrington, and it grew into a restaurant along with my sister-in-law, Sid, who had a couple of restaurants in the city. And the club grew out of that. We were there for a long time in Great Barrington.
That's a long time, 1995 till, 3 years ago?
No, yeah, it lasted, we were in Great Barrington 15 years.
15 years.
Yeah, long time.
I'm glad. See, what happens is I meet a lot of regulars in the club and in the restaurant who really are coming from all over the world, really, and that don't know the history. And the fact that in the Great Barrington, a town that's smaller than Hudson, that you guys were open and successful for 15 years, what do you think was the holy water behind that?
Well, it was really, I mean, as you know, anybody who has a restaurant and a venue like ours, it's an act of love. I mean, you're doing it for the community. I mean, I applaud anybody who has a restaurant or a refuge where people can come and be together and eat great food. I mean, it's the community is what we need right now. And I think that was part of the success of it, is it quickly became a community destination. And plus the fact that we had great food. I mean, my family is from Finland. My grandfather ran the Hotel Helsinki in Finland for many years. So, and I have family in the theater, and it was an outpouring of that, you know, of the place where people could go and just be together.
And you think the complement of music and food together, you know, that makes you just so, me at least, it's something you can't do every day, is sit down and have really good food and watch live music.
No, Helsinki's kind of an anomaly in that regard, because, I mean, most venues, they don't really concentrate on the food. But for us, especially in Hudson with you, Chef, there, it's a natural. I mean, we have such an incredible space in Hudson, and we really wanted to make something that worked. You know, obviously, as you know, the economics of these days, you've got to be real creative. And we knew how to do the music, and I wasn't really willing to continue with the food part of what we were doing in Great Barrington. I mean, we came to Hudson, we wanted to do something different. I had a Scandinavian kind of restaurant there. I didn't want to step on Daba's foot. We had a tea shop. There was already a beautiful tea shop in Hudson. We wanted to do something different. So when we met you, and we knew what a great talent you were in the food department, and that we knew how to do the music, we thought we had the energy to combine it. And that's what we're doing.
And so far, so good. And I tell you, that was really kind-hearted of you to come into town, and not, because a lot of people wouldn't do that, you know. I mean, look at the tattoo shops here. I mean, you know, they're stacking up on each other now. You
oh,
know?
Really? Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it's like you came in here with the right way, and I think that's why you have so many friends that you do. What do you think the biggest difference you've seen since 1995 in the Hudson Valley / Berkshires to now?
There are a lot of people, I think that there are a lot of people right now who want to live in Hudson, when we first opened in Great Barrington, there were, you know, it's a small town, and in the wintertime it would empty. So it was a challenge to maintain a local following because the weekenders were gone. Very difficult. In Hudson, there are a lot more housing options. People are here because they want to be a part of a community, and they're living here. And they're not so many. There are weekenders, but I think there's also a growing community of people that are staying around because they want to be a part of something, of a community.
Yeah, I agree with you to the fullest on that. I mean, look, I transplanted here. I mean, there's something special about this place that really is intriguing. And with the art and the landscape and now the food and the diversity of the community, it's very, very appealing to raise a family here or to settle down.
I think people are also committed. I mean, when Mark and Mark Schaffler, my amazing partner who built Helsinki and designed it, and our partner Cameron Melville, when we got the building, we knew we wanted it to build something with integrity. I mean, what's been missing in this country is a lack of good building quality, good food. I mean, people want to change things now. They want to grow healthy food. They want to be in a building that's healthy and sound and strong and interesting and artful. I mean, I think we're all involved in something together, and that's recreating the country. And I think that's what people are responding to.
Yeah, you know, because it's like forward progress. You know, we're not sitting here treading water and waiting for things to happen. I think, especially this community, we're moving forward.
Right, we're trying to change things. I mean, as subtle and as subconscious as it sometimes is, I mean, we are constantly trying. I mean, you with your show and interviewing farmers, Mark with the way that he did the building by not taking shortcuts, by cleaning up the area, by building a strong building with, you know, great beauty. Our booking, bringing artists in, we're trying to change the community by bringing all sorts of different artists here. You know, I think that's another big change that's happening now, is we don't want the status quo anymore. You know, we want to change things and make the country better.
That's right. And you know, another thing about Mark is he hired local.
That's right. You know, all of our builders were local.
Yeah, these weren't a bunch of guys from, you know, New Jersey coming in here and sticking it up in 3 days. I mean, it took him handcrafted local hire. You know, that's respect, you know.
Right. That's why it took 5 years. I mean, we ended up hiring people like, you know, luthiers, you know, craftsmen to do the work. And it took a long time, but it made a difference. And it also gave a lot of people that we care about employment for a long time.
I mean, it is steel and brick. After a night like last night, it's still standing. Anything, you know? I mean, it's hardcore.
That's right. You can stand on the bar. You can stand on the railings. It's built to last.
That's right. That's right. Well, hey, listen. What's coming up in the, you know, the future here? That's really got you excited. So, anybody in Columbia County, Greene County, anyone listening to the podcast, if you've never been to Helsinki, you're talking right now with one of the co-owners. So she likes it. You should come out.
Well, first of all, you know, 'tis the season for great food. In fact, I'm just thinking I can get out of here and go strawberry picking for Chef in a little while.
Oh, cool.
So the food's going to be great. But for music, this is an incredible week ahead. We've got Victor Wooten is going to be here on Wednesday night. And he's bringing, I don't know how this happened, but he's really excited about being here. He's bringing a great band with him. So we're really excited about Victor Wooten on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, we have a tribute to the life and legacy of Lee Von Helm with an incredible roster of people. Elvis Perkins will be there, the Felice Brothers, and on and on. So that's Wednesday and Thursday. Jonathan Richman is going to be here this week. Jonathan Richman, who is one of my top 10 artists that have ever played the club.
Wow.
Yeah, the YOs are coming this week, so it's a really, it's a happening week.
It's a heck of a week. You know, one thing that I've seen, I've never worked in a venue/restaurant/event space. I don't know many people who have, This is a very unique place. But one thing, I never really got to meet musicians, you know, like, and hang out with these people and talk to them. I always thought, well, you know, these guys are going to be, like, you know, big-headed and cocky. And I found that they're some of the most real people I've ever met in my life because they're wandering around doing what they love to do. Like Steve Earle, cool as a fan, you know?
Yeah, and you know what's interesting? After all these years and really presenting thousands of artists through the years, the more seasoned an artist is, the longer they've been on the road, the less, I don't know, new at this they are, the more comfortable they are in the venue. I mean, look, who was it? Was it Sharon Jones who came in the kitchen?
Yeah, it was Sharon Jones.
And the Dap Kings were not only, you know, at the club, they were meeting everybody. They were in the kitchen. Artists who are seasoned and been playing clubs a long time, they get comfortable, and you get comfortable with them, and it's a real friendly vibe.
Yeah, I can't explain the energy I felt in our place of business anywhere else in the world, really. I mean, I know that sounds crazy to some people, but you don't know what it's like on a Sunday afternoon to listen to the Blind Boys of Alabama and eat some crawfish etouffee in the middle of Hudson, New York. It's just magical. There's an energy. And we got to keep doing it, Deborah. What do you say?
Yeah, we'll do it.
Hey, before we go, there's something that I think is pretty cool. And in the great state of North Carolina and the world, we lost a great musician this week. His name is Mr. Doc Watson. And he's I want to bring this up because Deb, you hung out with him. He played the whole club.
Yeah, he played a couple of times. And I was so, you know, back in the old days when it was a little bit, I was a little less busy, we used to hang out a lot. And Doc and his band, and I think it was some of the members of the Wyos who were playing one night. We just sat around in one of the green rooms and just talked guitars and, you know, on the...
It's okay, dude. We
oh,
can
sorry
it.
About that.
It's all right.
And, yeah, that's the way it goes. I mean, one of the reasons that we have been able to get so many terrific artists through the years, I have to tell you all a secret. It has to do not only with the hospitality that we think is so important, but the great food. Artists who have been on the road, to have a great meal is unusual, and it's such a gift. And yeah, I hung out with Doc. In fact, I have a picture of he and I on the website, and I really cherish a lot of those relationships.
Well, Debs, thank you so much for coming by and talking to me. I know you're busy, and I can't wait to try the strawberries you're gonna go pick, because I know your mother's been making a mean strawberry rhubarb cobbler, which sold like crazy last night.
Yeah.
And you know what? We're going to give our respect to Doc, and we're going to go ahead this interview out with little Doc Watson, Blue Ridge Mountain Blues. We miss you, Doc.
I'm gonna do right by my walk, and I'm gonna do right by my talk. I want to hang around that cabin door with no work or worries anymore. I'm got them Blue Ridge Mountain blues, and I stand right here and say my grip is packed to travel, soon be scratching gravel for that Blue Ridge far away.
Welcome back, Columbia County, Greene County, everybody listening to the podcast, To Eat Food or Die. Thank you guys for tuning in this episode. It means a lot to me, and I have fun doing this, and I hope you guys enjoy listening. And I'm glad you guys are being patient with me this particular podcast on my music, because I really felt like this podcast, I want to spin a little more music, if that's okay with you all. And I want to talk about one thing that's going on in the city of Hudson, and it is the food carts. Man, oh man, they're everywhere. And you know what? I like it. And you're going to hear someone around the way say, oh, they're going to take away business, dude. They're, you know, calm down. No, they're not. Because the same person that's coming to your food cart on a Saturday afternoon isn't the same person coming to your restaurant that Saturday night. It's two different people. It's a weekender, or it's someone out for the day, you know, like on their way down to the river. You're not stealing each other's, you know, dollars from each other. I think there's enough to go. So let these guys have a good time, you know, and let's keep this town foodie. You know, we mess up cool stuff like that. You know, this isn't D.C., dude. This is Hudson, New York. So let's have fun. And I'm going to leave with some music. A little Roy Orbison, a little David Allan Coe, and a couple in there to surprise you. I have to thank Sarah Kendall, who produces this show. I have no idea how to work computers, and she does this for me, and bless her heart. Also, I wouldn't be a good daddy if I didn't say, Ruby, I love you, little bird. Daddy will be home soon. So everybody, thanks again. Everybody, all the restaurants in Hudson Valley, welcome home, summer. Let's go get it. And I'll see you guys next time. Take it easy, y'all.
Country DJs knows that I'm an outlaw. They'd never come to see me in this dive, where bikers stare at cowboys who are laughing at the hippies who are praying they'll get out of here alive. Loudmouth in the corner's getting to me, talking about my earrings and my hair. I guess he ain't read the signs that say I've been to prison. Someone ought to warn him before I knock him off his chair. 'Cause my long hair just can't cover up my redneck. I've won every fight I've ever fought, and I don't need some turkey telling me that I ain't country, saying I ain't worth a damn dog ticket that he bought. 'Cause I can sing all them songs about Texas, and I still do all the sad ones that I know. They tell me I look like Merle Haggard and sound a lot like David Allan Coe. And the barmaid in the last town that we played in knew the words to every song I'd wrote. She said Jimmy Rabbit turned her on to my last album just about the time the jukebox broke. Yeah, Johnny Cash helped me get out of prison long before Rodriguez stole that goat. I've been the Rhinestone Cowboy for so long I can't remember, and I can do you every song Hank Williams ever wrote. And I can sing all them songs about Texas. And I still do all the sad ones that I know. I can't help it, I look like Merle Haggard. And I sound a lot like David Allan Coe. But the country DJs all think I'm an outlaw. And they'd never come to see me in this dive, where bikers stare at cowboys who are laughing at the hippies who are praying they'll get out of here alive. The loudmouth in the corner's getting to me, talking about my...
That was Mr. David Allan Coe, Dallas, Texas' finest. Now that's one bad dude. 25 years in the outlaw biker group, or biker gang, I don't think you call them group. And Johnny Cash helped that man get out of prison. So thank you, Johnny. Also, we're going to play a little Roy now. He's ugly as sin, as blind as a bat, but something tells me you didn't have any problem with ladies. Let's go. Only the lonely.
Dum, dum, dum. Only the lonely know the way I feel tonight. Only the lonely know this feeling ain't right. There goes my baby, there goes my heart. So far apart, but only the lonely know why I cry. Only the lonely
called Morphine. It's headed by a man named Mark Sandman, who actually ended up collapsing and dying on stage in Italy during a concert. I love this band. The only problem is you can't listen to too much at a time, because you're going to find yourself like crying in a dark room. Okay, Morphine, Cure for Pain.
Where is the pain?
So growing up in the South in the 80s and all over the South, really, Georgia, North Carolina, all my family in Louisiana and over there in Texas and everything, you know, it was music was still very segregated. You know, the African-American community listened to hip-hop and us white boys listened to metal. You know, and we went together, we played football together, and we hung out together, but we could never really relate on music. This group I'm getting ready to play stopped all of that single-handedly. Someone born and raised in the South is vouching that OutKast was single-handedly united. I mean, I could talk in the football locker room about rap for the first time ever. So let's do OutKast. Elevators.
Money, yes sir, two for the show. A couple of years ago, on Headland and DeLow. What's the starter? Something good. Where me and my drove the martyr through the hood, just trying to find that hook up. Now every day we looked up at the ceiling, watching ceiling fans go round, trying to catch that feeling. I'm instrumental, had my pencil and plus my paper. We caught the 86 lot on your head, to Decatur, writing rhymes, trying to find our spot off in that light, light off in that spot. Knowing that we can rock, doing the hole in the wall club. This shit here must stop, like freeze. We making the crowd move, but we not making no G's. And that's a no-no.
A 1-2, dope, dope. Then the Cadillac, they call us. Went from Plagueis ball to ball, to putting the stop up on the map. It's like Little Rock to banging. Say mother, mother, that plaguing. They paying. We staying, legging vocals, locales done. Made it with them big boys up in this industry. OutKast, yeah, them, they making big noise. Over a million sold to this day. Take it like they 96, gonna be that year that all y'all Plagueis hitters can bite me.
Around me, you, your mama and your cousin too. Rolling down the strip on poles, coming up slamming Cadillac doors. Me and you, your mama and your cousin too. Rolling down the strip on poles, coming up slamming Cadillac doors.
Back in the day when I was younger, hunger, looking to fill me belly with that rallies, bullshit. Push off like it was supposed to be pulled. Full of the tick, I was stone like them white boys. When them white girls before them got crunk, chunky, chunky. Passes getting thrown like Hail Marys, and they looking like Halle Berry. So, so fine, intertwined. But we ain't sipping wine, we just chilling. I'm the rabbit villain, and I'm so high, so freely. Me, Lil B, Reek Moan and Shook, and my little brother James. Things changing the hood where I live at. Them rats know, mama, I want to sing, but mama, I want to trick. And mama, I'm suck, you suck now. We moving on up in the world like elevators. Me and the crew, we pimps like 82. Me and you like Tony, Tony, Tone. Yeah, yeah. Like this East Point and we gone.
Me and you, your mama and your cousin too. Rolling down the strip on poles, coming up slamming Cadillac doors. Me and you, your mama and your cousin too. Rolling down the strip on poles, coming up slamming Cadillac doors.
I stopped at the mall the other day, heard a call from the other way that I just came from. Some was saying something, talking about hey, smoke something.
You remember me from school?
No, not really, but it kept smiling like a clown, facial expression looking silly, and it kept asking me, what kind of car you drive? I know you paid, I know y'all got buku buku from all them song that y'all done made. And I replied that I've been going through the same thing that he has. True, I got more fans than the average man, but not enough loot to last me to the end of the week. I live by the beat like you live, check to check. If you don't move your feet, then I don't eat, so we like neck to neck. Yes, we done come a long way like them slim ass cigarettes from Virginia. This ain't gon' stop, so we just gon' continue. Continue.
And you, your mama and your cousin too. Rolling down the strip on poles, coming up slamming Cadillac doors. Me and you, your mama and your cousin too. Rolling down the strip on poles, coming up slamming Cadillac doors. Me and you. Your mama and your cousin too. Rolling down the strip on the pole. Coming up, slamming Cadillac doors.
So this is it. Episode 5, coming to an end. Thank you guys again for tuning in. Listen, you guys want to hear it again, we're going to do it again. It's the third Monday of every month. I will be talking to y'all again the third Monday, 2 p.m. of July, and we're going to exit with Carolina Chocolate Drops. If you haven't heard these guys, well, you're in for a treat because they rock, and I'm a huge fan. Durham, North Carolina. Let's do it.
To China, cornbread and butter beans, then back to North Carolina. Cornbread and butter beans, and you cross the table, eating in beans and making love as long as I am able. Hoeing corn and cotton too, and when the day is over, ride the mule and cut the fool and love begin all over. Lots of trouble. Streetcars and whiskey bars and kissing pretty women. Women, yeah, that's the end of a terrible beginning. And cornbread and butter beans, and you cross the table, eating in beans and making love as long as I am able. Hoeing corn and cotton too, and when the day is over, ride the mule and cut the fool and look again all over. Raising heck and writing checks, it ought to be unlawful. Silk holes and frilly clothes is just a waste of money. Come with me and stay with me and say you'll be my honey. And cornbread and butter beans, and you cross the table, eating in beans and I'm making love as long as I am able. Hoeing corn and cotton too, and when the day is over, ride the mule and cut the fool and love begin all over.